from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Ben Cherington finally found his match, and he had to go back to Boston, where he was the GM when the Red Sox won the World Series in 2013. And we have our first deal. Ding, 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 ding. Quinn Priester out the door. Here comes Nick York. And how about this for a stat on Cherington? Good afternoon, everybody. Malzi across from me. Donnie Football is here. We hope you are too at 412-928-9370. This is only the second time in his career as a GM that Ben Cherington has made a trade as a buyer at a deadline.
You're definitely calling this a buyer trade, right? Because I've already seen people allege that this is a seller's trade. But I disagree with that.
I think it's a baseball trade.
No, I think it's a we have a position we feel is deep, starting pitching.
Yeah.
You have a position where you don't think this guy can fit on your team. We need bats.
Sure, I guess,
you need pitching.
I guess I should have said this is only the second time he's made a trade when the Pirates are technically, or when the team he's managing
is technically
is
in
contention.
Because every Red Sox team he was the GM of, except for the one that won the World Series, finished dead last.
Correct.
How'd he finish? Dead last? Yeah, he had a good season.
So, though, I've already seen mostly rave reviews on this trade on social media, and I get that part of it.
From the baseball intelligentsia? Or
from Pirates fans and Pirates media, from both. I mean, I think most people look at this as a shrewd trade because Priester stinks. His career ERA in the big leagues is 6.46. He doesn't throw hard. Everybody brings it now where the radar gun for Skeens is going to go up to 102, 103 tonight, possibly. And this guy tops out at 93.
And he's a guy who used to be at 97, and then he got to the Pirates in the velocity drop.
And he's a guy that Ben didn't draft. So it's much easier for him to trade him for pennies on the dollar, nickels on the dollar, if he wants, because his name's not on the player.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting back a guy who has put up pretty good numbers in the minors this year and is
really
on the Red Sox, on
Real
the Red Sox
good.
Prospect rankings. Ranked highly. He was a first-round pick in 2020, just like Nick Gonzalez. Had a great first year in professional baseball, hit .325. And then the next year, he hit .232. So he's had a very up-and-down career. At one point, he was considered the 31st prospect in all of baseball. And it's not like the Red Sox have Dustin Pedroia at second base anymore. They've actually had multiple guys play that position, and this guy never got a shot this season. So I think he's an upgrade over Triolo in Bay with Gonzalez out. I mean, this trade makes me think Gonzalez is going to be out for a long time. Cherington said weeks, not days yesterday. Maybe it's months.
He pulled his groin.
It looked bad. When you're just running and
he pulled his groin. He's out for a while.
We talked about groins, man. Groins can be bad news. And that looked like a severe groin pull.
It was. I talked to you. I said I'd rather pull the groin completely off the bone, maybe have it flapping around
but,
in there.
You know, here's what I'm going to say.
It's a pedigree versus
here's what I'm
pedigree
gonna say
trade,
about,
though.
Here's what I'm going to say about this trade. I think it's a smart move, but it's not the move I wanted. And I don't think I'm being too picky. I don't think I'm holding the Pirates to too high of a standard. I don't think I'm being someone that is asking for too much. I wanted Jazz Chisholm. If you're willing to trade Quinn Priester for the sixth best prospect in the Red Sox organization, you should have been willing to trade Quinn Priester and more to get a guy who, guess what, plays the two positions you really need right now, second base and center field. The Yankees didn't get back, you go by MLB.com, they didn't get back any top prospects in that deal. So, like, I want to try to recondition Pirates fans. Trading for a guy who has no major league experience, who you hope is a Band-Aid for Nick Gonzalez, that's not what we should be striving for at the deadline. I appreciate the move, but it can't be the move. That's got to be a compliment. That's something you're out for dinner. This is like the bread rolls that come out for free at the beginning. This is not what it's all about. It should be the start of something more, is what I'm saying, and it maybe was the easiest trade to make because Ben, I'm guessing, still has connections in Boston. They need pitching depth. You need a middle infielder who can also play the outfield. Great. Make a deal. But it doesn't make me feel any better, Chris, about what's gone on to this point where the team that's in last place in your division gets an all-star third baseman. The guy you want goes to the Yankees for not a lot. A $2 million outfielder who would have had the second highest OPS on your team behind Reynolds Winker goes to the Mets for this, for their 17th-ranked prospect.
Don't get it.
These are all guys I wanted.
I don't get it.
So Ned York, welcome to the team. Nick York, welcome to the Pirates. You'll probably go in and play second base right away because you're better than Triolo and Bay, but this can't be the top move that the Pirates make at the deadline.
But would you guess that it is going to be the top move they make right now?
I'm nervous because I just said at the beginning, the GM has only made one other trade as a buyer, and that's when the Red Sox won the World Series, and that was for Jake Peavy, and Peavy really did not help them that much. He was a down-the-line starting pitcher. It's not like he has in his resume or in his personal history a move while he's been a manager that helped propel a team to great heights where he can draw on personal experience. If not for me being aggressive or for trading prospects, giving up young players, if I don't make a trade like that, my team doesn't win. He has nothing like that in his history. And I heard a guy yesterday on his radio show who I thought gave me chapter and verse as to why it's hard to make a trade and why you can't make a trade more than they will make a trade, Chris, other than this one.
This one in a vacuum, I'd give like a B because, although here's a thought, if Nick York is more left fielder than he is second baseman, those pretty good minor league hitting stats mean a lot less because you expect way more out of a corner outfielder if that's what he ends up being. You would need a lot more power out of Nick York. You wouldn't be as enamored with the offense if it was coming from an outfield spot. I get it, but it's a baseball trade. Fine. You need a second baseman for right now. He plugs the hole. But when I hear what you described hearing yesterday on Ben Cherington's show, it sounded like a guy telling you why he couldn't and wouldn't rather than why he was going to, could, would make this team better. I don't like it when somebody sounds like they are making preemptive excuses for a lack of activity, particularly when you just gave us the rundown of who got who
right.
For what.
He sounded like a guy yesterday that was trying to tell us that if we go out and make these trades, we're going to set the franchise back long-term.
I thought the Cubs were supposed to be sellers, so why do they have Paredes now? For their what prospect?
Well, they put Christopher Morel on the trade, and then, you know, because everyone thinks the Rays win every trade, they just assume that Morel's going to go there and turn into a 40-home run
Maybe
guy.
Maybe he will. But they were supposed to be selling, and they got a very established bat. Winker, established bat.
I'm not over the Chisholm thing yet.
Remember, Chisholm was supposed to not be on the radar of big market teams because people wondered whether or not he could handle it, like if he was a New York type of guy to be there and deal with that pressure. Clearly, the Yankees didn't think so. Clearly, the Yankees, did you see what they said about him? Chisholm could be middle of the order bat. I felt like I had been gaslit in the Jazz Chisholm run-up thinking that he was a solid but not really good player, and it's clear the team that got him thinks he can be really, really good.
I appreciate that he got a little bit creative here to help fill a hole in the short term, and maybe it is the long term while Gonzalez is out. But you're doing this in part because, as he's talked about with his internal options, the internal guys who are supposed to backfill this position, you don't believe in. Triolo, pat him on the ass for making an incredible catch in right field last night. The guy couldn't hit for an American Legion team in Pittsburgh. You put him in the Federal League, he's going 0-for-4. He stinks right now. He looks overmatched.
I don't think he'll ever
hit. In most at-bats. Bay, Joe Block, love him to death. I think last night Joe Block said at one point, Jiwon Bae's one of the most talented guys in baseball. Well, then why is he always at AAA? Charrington on his radio show made a comment like, we haven't seen Jiwon Bae that much in the big leagues because he's been blocked by the guys on the major league team in front of him.
That's pretty damning. If your
major league
system,
team in front of him has the second worst OPS in the National League.
If your system,
nice bunt
has
by him
so
in extra innings last
many,
night, but
like non-entities that you have to bring in this Nick York and trade one of your starting
Pagero,
pitchers,
who you gave up Starling Marte for in Charrington's first trade. Apparently, you don't trust him enough to come up from AAA and play there. And Jack Sawinski got sent down after the game yesterday, which, when Charrington was talking about we need internal improvements, we need our guys inside our own clubhouse to get better, we all circled Jack Sawinski as one of those guys because we've seen him at 20-plus home runs. Now you're telling him, go ride the bus in Indianapolis for a few weeks. So, I'm sorry. Was I supposed to be very positive to start this segment because they traded for York? I can't get there yet, man. If this is like on the rankings, on the list of trades they make, if this is like the third or fourth trade, well, then I will come back on the air and say job well done by the Pirates and Ben Charrington. But this is all we have to go off of now. Donnie, do you agree with me or no? Do you want to maybe speak more highly of this York deal?
I mean, I really don't see it as a buyer or seller move. It's just like a weird, like middling move. But they did take from a position where they have an abundance of pretty good players or guys that are a lot more promising than Quinn Priester. And
sure,
they picked out of that stockpile, tossed it to the Red Sox. They get a position player prospect in return who's not one of those prospects, because people will hear the word prospect and say, same old buckos. Like, this guy's on the doorstep of the majors. It's not
he's
a prospect.
He's going to play for them in the major leagues
we're
this
not
year.
Going
probably right
this
away.
Year, he probably gets
probably
called
tomorrow.
Up. Can he get to Houston tonight?
He's going to play for the big club by the end of the week,
tomorrow. We're not going to have to wait until 2027 or 2028 to see this guy. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a bad move, not an exciting one. I'm not going to say it's a
Do you
super
feel better about
move.
Their wild card chances because of this trade, yes or no?
No.
Malzi?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I want to say yes.
If your major league system...
If they
system,
make the Jazz Chisholm trade, we're coming on the
but
air
no,
they and
can't
we're doing backflips.
They can't get rid of these prospects. If your major league system is so bereft of actual talent that you feel like you've got to go trade for a Nick York to address the Nick Gonzalez hole because you don't trust anybody that's in there, then why are those guys so sacred where you wouldn't give any of them up in a trade for a Jazz Chisholm or a Winker or literally anybody else who's a bigger name for this? Explain to me how it makes sense that you're basically tacitly acknowledging with this particular trade, yeah, our position guys that are close to the bigs actually suck, but they're also untouchable in trades for players that are going to help you a lot more than Nick York.
Well, I don't think
is.
Anybody wants the guys that I rattled off. I don't think anyone wants Triolo, Bay, Pagero, those guys, but it feels like they just keep drafting and developing middle infielders.
Apparently They've not developing them very well.
Well, most of them are like at double A and single A, but I get your point.
But I was told that like Triolo and some of these guys, it sounds like they were getting high on their own supply with some of these guys before the season. It's just, it's very frustrating.
And ironically,
I hear
the guy
they weren't
high on was Gonzalez, and he ended up being the best one.
The bottom line is, I am tired of what I feel like is going to happen, which is them telling us that it's really about next year and it's really about the year after that, and just continuing to ignore the actual potential sitting right in
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.